NDP MPP Saul Mamakwa joins us on the show. We always enjoy our conversations, but this is an important day, a very real day. And Saul makes this time for us and you, the Toronto Today audience, to talk about issues in his riding, in the Indigenous landscape, and whether or not we're moving towards a better place. Is it one step forward, one step back sometimes? We'll talk to Saul about all of that next. I think we're further along in the conversation. I know you made the point yesterday saying you can't reconcile without truth. So I think we're getting to the point where the truth is being taught in our schools. The truth is more in conversations that people like me are having with our parents and talking about what was missed, what wasn't spotted, what people turned a blind eye to intentionally or not. So I think we're even further along than we were last year, and we've got to keep digging and getting at this year by year.
Yes, certainly. I think we moved, a needle a bit, the reconciliation needle, just because of the visit from the historic penitential pilgrimage to Canada by Pope Francis. And I think, that moved a needle a little bit just because of the, that visit itself, the apology itself. We have to understand that there's challenges which lie ahead of our collective journey to healing, to reconciliation, and also eventual forgiveness. And I think that's, the people that saw that is only a first step into a long journey together. So, today, again, is Orange Shirt Day. It's a national day for truth and reconciliation. This is the second year that we've had, and that's a time to reflect.
I read your statement from yesterday. I always think of you as a politician that wants to do things rather than just say things. And the machinery of government, the machinery of politics gets in the way of that sometimes. And I'm sure you worry and I worry. There's too many people into the world of politics that would prefer to say things as opposed to doing things. But you make the point yesterday, admitting to wrongdoing in the face of undeniable evidence is not reconciliation. Performative acts of apology are not reconciliation. And you're right. The Pope being here made a difference to people. Maybe that was something unthinkable that was going to happen last September at this time. But it's not everything. We need to know more. We need, records. We need to make sure that we understand exactly what was done as opposed to just a blanket apology.
Yes, I think that there needs to be more done in here in the province of Ontario, but also this country of Canada. And I think if we go back to the truth and reconciliation calls to action, if you read those 9-4 calls to action, you will see how the opportunities that are there to invest in those calls to action. And I think that I think the political will has not been there to invest in those action items. So, and I think again, we have to understand too, like here in Ontario, we haven't like some. There were 18 sites in Indian residential school sites in Ontario, and I think the one in Mohawk College, in New Brantford, is the one that has started searching. But we're still searching, and I think that there's so much we can do, and with regards to just saying things, and I think. You want to be able to change the trajectory of the thinking of the people that make these decisions in, across Canada, across the municipalities, across the regions, the governments as well, right? And I think that's the intent of sometimes of my messaging.
NDP MPP Saul Mamakwa, kind enough to join us. You're right. 7 years ago, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission federally releases its final report, and there's 94 calls to action. And it's been documented. We've covered about 10% of those calls. And even Mark, when Mark Miller says this is moving too slowly, he's right. What gets it moving faster? What expedites some of these calls to action? It's more than just political will, isn't it? Although that's a big part of it.
Well, I think that's one of the things too, is, they have to, that political will has to come with some resourcing and investing into those calls to action. And I know sometimes politicians say the good words that they people need to hear, that they put us in the same, they think in the same place whereby they talk about colonialism, where they talk about oppression and how it impacts the lives and the health of indigenous people in this case. But that's what it's been done before, whereby colonial systems, colonial governments have continued to say that. But I think again, actions are more actions and resources are what we need into these investments, and so we can come together as as a better Ontario, a better Canada, essentially a better Canada, and a better society. That's what we all need here. And then we're all after the same thing.
Some may view this as a loaded question, but it's a really honest question for you, and I've thought about it. Is this now a better time with what we're acknowledging, with how we're moving forward, for a young Indigenous person, maybe in your riding, maybe where I live? Is this a better time? Maybe, unfortunately, there's not a lot of great things to compare it to. Is it one of the better times that we can think of to be young and Indigenous and independent and knowing the whole world is in front of you and so many more people want to help people achieve their goals and dreams? Are we in a much better place than we have been in previous decades?
I think acknowledging the Indian residential schools and its intergenerational impacts is one piece. But I think we have to understand that there's still oppressive and colonial systems, policies, and actions that keep on happening. And I still have 14 long-term boil water advisories in my riding. And is that a better time? I don't know. That's a very loaded question, and I think we need to be able to come to understand on the backyard of Canada on what's happening, whereby some of the First Nations are living in third world conditions, and I think we have to acknowledge that as well.
Oh yeah,
and I think that's that it is a better time than, what we say 10 years ago, a little bit. Just the needle, I think it's not about stepping forward, but it's about changing the, where you're looking at, changing the trajectory of the thinking of looking, about 3-4 degrees or whatever, that is changing. I think if I always say that when I do these interviews, because if I can change one person's mind, or at least not change, but at least somebody's made aware, if I can change one person's awareness of Indian residential schools and its impacts, I think I would have made change. And that's why I do interview these kind of type of interviews.
When you tell me there's 14 boil water advisories, I'm not shocked, and I should be, Saul. I should. If I told you there were 14 boil water advisories where I live, you'd be shocked. So I should be shocked that there are where you are. And it's wrong that I'm not. And it's an absolute, it's a bucket of water to the face of all of us that this is still the case. So yeah, we all want to provide better for our children than our parents were able to provide. That's always the goal when you are a kid moving into the next generation. And there must be parents looking at their kids right now going, it's not getting done and there's nothing I can do about it. And it's terrible. That's wrong.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's, just imagine if where you live, just imagine if, two or three blocks did not have clean drinking water for decades. And, the longest one is at on its 28th year. And I was talking to this young mother up in the north, and, she's having to buy water, bottled water.
Yeah.
For her two-year-old boy to bathe him and for the skin to clear up. And, and that's something that people don't know, that it's happening today in Ontario and in Canada. It's a different Canada. It's a different Ontario, it seems.
It shouldn't go on this long. It shouldn't go on much longer. It shouldn't go on another day longer. And this is why, again, I thank you for making the time for our show. I want to have more conversations on more days of the week, in more months of the year than obviously just today. Thanks for your trust and for you coming on our show every time. You're always welcome.
Miigwech for having me. Thank you.
NDP MPP Saul Mamakwa.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.